This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Wednesday, March 26th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll look at the future of the Conservation Reserve Program and how often farmers are using it. And we'll have a look at the AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, a look at today's news. More Champaign County school officials are looking at a possible countywide sales tax for school facilities, AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
School officials throughout Champaign County have been discussing the tax, which is allowed under a new state law. The Champaign School Board heard a presentation on the school sales tax last night, and Board President Dave Tomlinson says it's worth looking into. But he says if voters approve an up to 1 cent sales tax to pay for building or renovating school facilities, the Unit 4 School Board should respond with a cut in the property tax rate.
I do not want this, and I think collectively boards don't want this as an additional revenue source. There certainly might be some, but I want to see us have an overall property tax reduction that, for the property owner specifically, they pay a lesser tax overall. And I think that's possible with this countywide sales tax.
Tomlinson says he expects school board presidents and superintendents in Champaign County will meet next month to discuss if they want to bring a school sales tax proposal to the voters. Meanwhile, the Champaign County Board will discuss the proposal in its policy committee this spring. A school sales tax referendum could be placed on the Champaign County ballot by the county board or by school boards representing a majority of the county's enrollment. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The end of school is about 60 days away, and that's the cue for local school board to RIF some of their staff. RIF, or reduction in force notices, are sent out each spring to school employees in Illinois who might possibly be laid off the following year. Most will be rehired in the fall, but right now schools don't know if they'll have state funding for these employees. State law requires that they tell the employees that they might not have a job next year. Champaign Assistant School Superintendent Beth Shepherd says that the Unit 4 district is sending RIF notices to 98 employees. Some are part-time, while others are so-called late hires. Shepherd says Unit 4 is sending out fewer RIF notices this year because the district is using fewer part-time workers.
We've worked to make more full-time positions. Part-time positions are RIFed every year so that you have flexibility with your staffing and you're able to adjust your staffing to meet your enrollment in specific areas. Late hires are RIFed because you don't have a chance to evaluate those people appropriately. And if they do a good job, you can call them back. If not, everybody gets a chance to start over.
In the Urbana School District, about 46 employees are being RIFed. School Board President Mark Netter says that's also a lower number than in past years. He credits the decrease to better planning by school administrators. Both the Champaign and Urbana School Board approved RIF notices for some of their employees at their meetings last night. A tirade in the courtroom marked Tuesday afternoon sentencing for a Champaign man accused of attempted murder. Toriano Johnson had pleaded guilty to firing a gun at his girlfriend's sister last June at an Urbana apartment. Later that night, he had barricaded himself inside a Champaign home, firing at police before he was arrested. Yesterday afternoon, a judge sentenced Johnson to 50 years in prison. At the same time, he'll serve a 45-year sentence for aggravated discharge of a firearm. Before the sentencing, the 33-year-old Johnson was removed from the courtroom after shouting obscenities at the judge. He now faces a contempt charge. A $14,000 child support check was handed Rachel Miller because the father of her two sons likes to hunt white-tailed deer. The state refused to renew Michael DeBrito's hunting license as part of a new program. It gives deadbeat dads the option of making child support payments immediately or giving up the right to hunt and fish. Matching up hunting licenses against lists of parents behind on their payments is the state's newest way to chip away at the longstanding problem of child support collection. In the 6 months the program has been in effect, the state has collected nearly $130,000 from 90 parents. DeBrito isn't happy about the turn of events. He says the way the state works now, they're in control of way too many things. At least one Pontiac prison guard pulled his weapon when a helicopter landed inside a security fence last week. The guard was unaware the helicopter was carrying Illinois Department of Corrections officials who were making a visit. No one was injured, but the union representing prison workers has lodged a complaint. Sean Crawford has more.
The union known as AFSCME says the guard thought an escape attempt was underway, as he was never notified about the helicopter arriving. The union says an inmate near where the landing took place was forced to lie on the ground at gunpoint. Aboard the aircraft were administrators, such as the agency's chief of staff and chief of operations. They were making a scheduled visit to the maximum security prison, but AFSCME spokesman Anders Lindahl says that was never communicated to guards on duty.
The officer in that tower is authorized to use deadly force to prevent an escape, and would have been within the bounds of those orders to fire on the aircraft.
Lindahl says those aboard the helicopter are lucky to be alive. He calls the lack of notification to the guards negligence. While the situation ended peacefully, AFSCME says corrective action is needed to make sure it never happens again. A spokesman for the corrections agency says the landing was authorized and that those in charge at the Pontiac prison knew the visit was taking place. I'm Sean Crawford.
Plans for a restaurant, a coffee house, or other retail establishments underneath a University of Illinois parking garage may be going by the wayside. The U of I had hoped to help finance the North Campus parking deck on University Avenue by leasing space to retail along the deck's south side on Clark Street. But for nearly 4 years, the space has remained vacant despite a marketing effort. Associate Director of Real Estate Dennis McConaughey admits that attracting business to that side of campus was going to be a challenge.
We're really creating a new market there, in effect, so there's always difficulty in that. And Campus Town, Green Street was hot. As you know, there was a considerable amount of franchises, big names that ended up on Green Street for obvious reasons.
This spring, work is expected to begin on transforming about a quarter of the 20,000 square feet into office space, with more to be converted if the U of I needs it. One tenant plans to move in this year, though a formal lease hasn't yet been signed. Booksellers say they may challenge a new Indiana law that requires businesses selling sexually explicit materials to register with the Secretary of State. The American Booksellers Foundation for Free Expression is asking a First Amendment group to take legal action to overturn the law. The law takes effect July 1st. It requires bookstores to pay a $250 fee and register with the state if they sell sexually explicit books or movies. That information would then be shared with local officials who could monitor businesses for violations of local regulations. Republican State Senator Brent Steele, who co-sponsored the legislation, said it was aimed at helping counties without zoning ordinances track adult businesses. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. With grain prices hitting record highs, a lot of farmers are removing land from the Federal Conservation Reserve Program. The CRP pays farmers to stop growing crops on poor land and instead grow trees or grass cover. That creates habitat for wildlife. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, which runs the program, says the CRP is still in good shape. Catherine Glover reports some conservationists disagree.
When the Conservation Reserve Program started in 1985, David Schoenborn was among the first on board. He stopped farming some of his land and let natural cover grow. The U.S. Department of Agriculture paid him. Usually, land that wasn't the best farmland or land that was prone to erosion was set aside for the program. Conservationists say CRP has been great for reducing soil erosion, improving water quality, and restoring wildlife habitat. But this year, for the first time, Schoenborn is letting some of his CRP contracts expire.
Oh, it's not a bad program, but payments have to be more to keep in line with the rest of the farm economy.
Corn and other grain prices are at record highs, so a lot of farmers are taking land out of CRP and plowing it up. The program lost more than 2 million acres last September. It could have been much worse. Originally, 16 million acres were set to expire in 2007, but in 2006, the USDA offered landowners the option to renew their contracts. About 80 to 85% of the land was re-enrolled. The USDA is focusing its conservation efforts towards environmentally sensitive lands and critical wildlife habitat. Perry Asnes is the state director for the USDA Farm Service Agency in Minnesota.
We're not enrolling whole fields of land anymore, basically. But there are still conservation programs such as what we call the continuous CRP, and that primarily focuses on really targeting buffer strips, waterways, and that sort of thing.
The targeted programs pay more than the general CRP contracts, making them more attractive to farmers. Schoenborn, for example, is re-enrolling eligible lands in these targeted programs. Altogether, the various programs have about 34 million acres enrolled. This is slightly above the average enrollment for the past 10 years, but less than the 39 million acres authorized by Congress. Osnes says the program is still in good shape.
I think the overall percentage of land going into production from CRP is pretty minimal.
But conservationists have a different perspective. They want to see as much land as possible enrolled in CRP. Dave Nomsen is with the conservation group Pheasants Forever.
Frankly, I think the program is more in doubt than it ever has been. And, it's great that farmers are benefiting from record crop prices, but it's making it a real challenge to keep conservation as part of that agricultural landscape.
And political pressure is part of that challenge. The American Bakers Association even asked the government to let CRP contracts expire early so farmers can plant more grain. This would hopefully lower the price of flour. But a huge reduction in CRP acres is unlikely. Both Republicans and Democrats support CRP. Dave Nomsen with Pheasants Forever says the problem is finding enough money to make it worth it to farmers. CRP payments do change over time depending on the market, but Nomsen says they haven't kept up.
It's been lagging behind by several years. You know, we just don't have the money to raise it up to an equal basis. But if we can get those payments high enough, the long-term nature of the contracts, the many, many other benefits of the program will hopefully sell the program for farmers and landowners.
Farmer David Schoenborn says payments vary, but generally he gets between $75 and $90 an acre. By planting corn, he thinks he could make at least $400 an acre. But he'd stay in CRP if payments increased just 30%. That's not likely, so chances are that more farmers will be putting land that's set aside for wildlife back into crops. For the Environment Report, I'm Catherine Glover.
In the forecast for the region today, mostly cloudy skies, a chance of showers in the afternoon, the high around 58. Rain and a chance of thunderstorms tonight, the low around 40. Showers likely tomorrow, a chance of thunderstorms, the high around 50. Showers likely tomorrow night, a chance of thunderstorms, the low around 38 degrees. Cloudy skies Friday, a chance of showers or snow showers in the morning, then partly sunny in the afternoon on Friday, the high around 45. Partly cloudy Friday night and Saturday, the lows around 28, the high around 48. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, March 26th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wil.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.